did. Malachi chapter number 1, we're going to begin reading in verse number 6 tonight. Malachi chapter 1, verse 6. The Bible says, "A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priest, that despise my name. And ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? Ye offer polluted bread upon mine altar, and ye say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that ye say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And if ye offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if ye offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee? Or accept thy person, saith the Lord of hosts? And now I pray you, beseech God that he will be gracious unto us. This hath been by your means. Will he regard your persons, saith the Lord of hosts? Who is there even among you that would shut the doors for naught? Neither do ye kindle fire on mine altar for naught. I have no pleasure in you, saith the Lord of hosts, neither will I accept an offering at your hand. For from the rising of the sun even unto the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. And in every place incense shall be offered unto my name and a pure offering. For my name shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye have profaned it, in that ye say, the table of the Lord is polluted, and the fruit thereof, even his meat, is contemptible. Ye said also, behold, what a weariness is it." And notice that there's an exclamation point there. They shouted that phrase. "What a weariness is it? And ye have snuffed at it, saith the Lord of hosts. And ye brought that which was torn, and the lame, and the sick. Thus ye brought an offering. Should I accept this of your hand, saith the Lord? But cursed be the deceiver, which hath in his flock a male, and voweth and sacrificeth unto the Lord a corrupt thing. For I am a great king, saith the Lord of hosts, and my name is dreadful among the heathen." And I want to bring you a message tonight entitled, "Leftovers." Leftovers. Okay for supper, but not for the sovereign. Leftovers. Okay for supper, but not for the sovereign. Father, please help tonight. Lord, please prick our hearts, stir our hearts, show us. And Father, help us to, Lord, we want you to show us, but Lord, I pray that we would beseech you tonight to help us to be honest as to whether we're truly giving you the best or whether we're simply giving you the leftovers. And Father, I pray that we would be honest about that tonight, every single one of us. Man, woman, mom, dad, deacon, Sunday school teacher, pastor. May every single one of us be honest tonight about whether we're giving you our absolute best or whether we're just giving you that which we have left over at the end of the day, at the end of the month, at the end of whenever, Lord. Father, we need your help tonight. Father, I pray for those that are away from us tonight. Some are traveling. I pray that you would protect. Some are just not here. I pray that you would convict. And Father, we need you. We acknowledge that tonight. And we're asking that you'll help us in a special way. Father, we pray all of this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Malachi is widely considered to be the last restoration prophet. And the events, the happenings that occur in the book of Malachi are thought to be contemporary with Nehemiah chapter number 13. Malachi means my messenger. And this messenger was sent by God to confront the compromise and corruption of a restored Israel. Malachi is primarily dealing with the priest. Here in chapter number 1, he references them, and even it carries over into chapter number 2 as well. The priest and the people as well, it wasn't just the priest, but it was primarily the priest here in chapter number 1, were not giving God the absolute best. They were bringing their leftovers, if you will, for sacrifice. How often in our day do we, and do even well-intended Christians, keep the very best for themselves and simply give what's left over at the end of the month to God? I submit to us tonight, and tonight's message isn't a message about money per se, although that's part of who we are, that's part of our lives. But the Bible says that God gets the first fruits, not what's left over at the end of the month. Not after I've paid all my bills and I've seen what I can, what is left over and what I can spare for God. The Bible says I give Him His part at the very beginning. And then He'll supply and He'll take care. I don't give Him the leftovers. And so I want to give it just two statements tonight here in Malachi chapter number one, and really hope to, really just want to be a help to us tonight. I pray that the Holy Spirit will stir our hearts. Because I know every single one of us, including this pastor, can give God better than what I give Him. I don't always give God the best, and that's not right. I don't always give God the best when it comes to my time, and that's not right. I don't always give God the best when it comes to my energy and my efforts, and that's not right. I don't always give God the best when it comes to my treasures. And that's not right. We need to give God the very best. Let me give you the first statement tonight, if I could. The King, leftovers. It's okay for supper. I like leftovers. My son hates leftovers, and that's okay. I like leftovers. They're okay for supper, but not for the sovereign. Number one tonight, the King is worthy. The King is worthy, first of all, of a son who will honor and appreciate. The King is worthy, the sovereign, the Lord Jesus Christ, Jehovah God. And by the way, Jehovah of the Old Testament is Jesus of the New Testament. The King, the sovereign, is worthy of a son who will honor and appreciate. Notice verse number one. We didn't read it, but verse one, it says, "The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi." Notice this in verse number two. "I have loved you, saith the Lord." God reminds them. God just didn't start loving them right here. He has loved them all the way since He called Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees. He has loved the nation of Israel. He chose the nation of Israel as His earthly people. And in Deuteronomy, the Bible says, look, He said, "I didn't love you because you were the greatest. I didn't love you because you were the most. I just loved you." And He reminds them once again, they have gone through the wilderness. They have gone into Canaan. They have had great victories. They went against God. They forgot God. God had to sell them into captivity into Babylon. They came back. They rebuilt. And now, after all of that, they're still having issue with doing that which is right toward God. And He simply reminds them. He said, "I have loved you, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us?" Look, after everything God had done for the nation of Israel, they are still questioning whether God loved them or not. Still, do we ever do that as Christians? Sure we do. After everything God has done for us, the salvation that He's provided for us, the benefits that He loads us with every day, the Bible says, the blessings that He bestows upon us every single day, we get in our minds that, well, this individual has more than I have, and God has blessed them more than me. God has given them, He's given them a perfect body. He's given them great looks. He's given them possessions. And what has He given me? And we start to think and we start to forget that God loves us. And He comes and He reminds the nation of Israel right here. He says, "I have loved you, saith the Lord." Are we okay? Is my battery out? Or y'all hang on just a second. It says I have 3 hours, so I think we're good. He says, "I have loved..." Yeah, we're good. It's not going to be 3 hours, I guarantee you that. He says, "I have loved you, saith the Lord." And what was our statement? The King is worthy of a son who will honor and appreciate. Verse number six is where we find the honor. We read verse number six. "A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If I then be a father, where is mine honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? He said, nation of Israel, and more specifically, he said, priest, you don't fear me anymore. You don't fear the position that you have been given. You are supposed to go in there. You're supposed to give the sacrifice. You're supposed to be holy and separated and set apart to me. And you do not fear me anymore, saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priest. Notice this, that despise my name. Can you imagine despising the name of the Lord? Can you imagine despising Jehovah God and everything He's done for you? And then they say, wherein have we despised Thy name? We haven't despised Thy name. We've just gone after other gods and we've built other altars and we don't sacrifice in the house of God the way that we should anymore. But really, how have we despised Thy name? And number one tonight, the king is worthy of a son who will honor and appreciate, will honor his position, will appreciate his love and everything that that entails. The king is worthy of a son who will honor and appreciate. How do we do that? We do it with fear. And by the way, we speak about this all the time. It's not the cowering in the corner type of fear. It's just a reverence. It's the fear that we ought to have for a father, for a parent. A reverence, if you will, with fear, with faithfulness. You see, the priests weren't faithful anymore. The people weren't faithful anymore. The priest had been given a job to come and to sacrifice and to do it in a right way. And they weren't doing it anymore. They weren't being faithful. This morning, the ensemble talked about being faithful. Boy, we need that, don't we? Brother Snodderly mentioned in one of his messages that God simply blesses faithfulness, and He does. God simply wants His people to be faithful over and over and over again. And by the way, the time in which we live and as we see the day approaching, we ought to be faithful more and more and more faithful and more faithful and more faithful. The day is approaching. He's coming back. It may not be in my lifetime, but dear friend, He's coming back. Look around. Look at everything that's going on. By the way, we don't have to have anything else go on. He could come right now. His return is imminent. We believe that tonight. But you look at what is going on. Look, He's coming back. And why is it when the Bible says that we ought to be faithful, that we ought not to forsake the assembly, and so much the more as you see the day approaching, why is it that God's people say, you know what? I think I'm going to be unfaithful now. I've been faithful all of this time, but now with everything going on and everything that's happened, I think I'll be unfaithful. What in the world? Where do we get that? How do we have that mentality? By the way, that's just the devil deceiving us. That's just the devil coming along and deceiving us and saying, hey, you don't have to be faithful right now, giving us an excuse not to be faithful. The king is worthy of a son who will honor and appreciate with fear and faithfulness. And let me say this, with his finest. With his finest. Giving him our absolute best. And we're going to say more about that in just a moment. The king is worthy of a son who will honor and appreciate. And dear friend, tonight, Jesus Christ is worthy of His people. That's us tonight. Man, woman, boy, or girl who know Christ, that's us. We're His children. He is worthy of children who will honor Him and honor His position and appreciate and be grateful and be thankful for what He's done for us. You ever seen a child, maybe have you ever seen a teenager who has grown up in a wonderful home and failed to see and failed to be grateful for that home that they grew up in? You ever see that? Boy, that just breaks my heart. To see young people, to see kids, to see teenagers, to see young children that are growing up in wonderful homes. They have everything they need. They have all the possessions that they need. But most importantly, they're growing up in a spiritual home. They're growing up in a godly home. And in the midst of it, they don't see it. In the midst of it, they're not grateful for it. And God deliver us from that tonight. The king is worthy of a son who will honor and who will appreciate. Number two tonight, the king is worthy of a sacrifice that is holy and acceptable. The king is worthy of a son who will honor him and who will appreciate what he has done. The king is worthy tonight of a sacrifice that is holy and that is acceptable. Notice verse number 8. And if you offer the blind for a sacrifice, is it not evil? And if you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor. Offer it unto one of your earthly leaders, your governor, a president. Offer it unto him. Will he be pleased with thee or accept thy person? Saith the Lord of hosts. And now I pray you beseech God that he will be gracious unto us. This hath been by your means. Will he regard your person, saith the Lord of hosts? Who is there even among you that would shut the doors for naught? Neither do ye kindle fire on mine altar for naught. I have no pleasure in you, saith the Lord of hosts. Neither will I accept an offering at your hand. Verse 10, he's talking to these priests that are saying, look, I'm not going to open the doors. I'm not going to start a sacrifice. I'm not going to start the fire for the sacrifice unless I get compensated for it. Notice what he says. Don't miss verse number 10. Who is there even among you that would shut the doors for naught? Neither do you kindle fire on mine altar for naught. He said, you won't even go worship. You won't serve me unless you get something out of it. You won't serve me unless you get paid for it. You won't lift a hand for me unless you get compensated for it. How many Christians do you know like that, that always come to the house of God with this mentality? What do you got for me? What do you have for me today? No, we don't come that way. We come saying, what I have for Him. I have my worship for Him today. I have my life and I'm going to give my life for Him today. I'm going to give my worship for Him today. I'm going to give my best for Him today. Verse number 11, for from the rising of the sun even to the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. He tells the Israelites, he said, look, there's going to come a day when the Gentiles are going to understand and see, and my name's going to be great among them. You nation of Israel, will not give me the glory due my name, but there will be a nation, there will be a people, the Gentiles, they'll give me the glory due my name. And in every place incense shall be offered unto my name and a pure offering, for my name shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye have profaned it, in that ye say the table of the Lord is polluted, and the fruit thereof, even his meat, is contemptible. Contemptible carries the idea of worthless. It carries the idea of being despised, as we've already seen that word. The Bible says the priest despised his name. Verse 13, ye said also, behold, what a weariness is it. Not only were they not going to serve unless they were compensated, they weren't going to serve unless it was comfortable for them. You notice verse 13? This is just a weariness for us. Having to come and do the sacrifices and serving in the temple and serving the Lord with the sacrifices, that just makes us weary. We're tired of it. It's a weariness it's weariness to us. And the Bible says, and ye have snuffed at it, saith the Lord of hosts, and you brought that which, look at this, and you brought that which was torn, and the lame, and the sick, thus ye brought an offering. Should I accept this of your hand, saith the Lord? But cursed be the deceiver which hath in his flock a male, and boweth and sacrificeth unto the Lord a corrupt thing, for I am a great king, saith the Lord of hosts, and my name is dreadful among the heathen. The king is worthy of a sacrifice that is holy, and that is acceptable. Take your Bibles, if you would, and would you go to the book of Leviticus with me? Leviticus chapter number 22. You see, in Malachi 1, they were bringing the torn, they were bringing the lame, they were bringing the blind, they were bringing the polluted, the bread was polluted. Now, that possibly could have been that they were using leaven in the bread. It possibly could have been that it was just stale. They had been careless with the showbread there in the tabernacle, and they were just letting it be polluted and letting it ruin, if you will. They weren't bringing the best. When it came to bringing a lamb, they didn't go out to the flock and look and find that perfect little lamb with absolutely no blemish at all. They were going out and they said, I can get more money for that little lamb because he's perfect. Let's take one of these that has a broken leg. Let's take one of these that is blind. Let's take one of these that its eye has been poked out. Let's take one of these that won't cost me much money. That's what they were doing. They were bringing the torn, the lame. That's what they were bringing to the sacrifice. Leviticus chapter 22. You say, Pastor, why was that a big deal? Because God had commanded them otherwise. Leviticus chapter number 22, we'll begin reading in verse number 17. The Bible says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto Aaron and to his sons, and unto all the children of Israel, and say unto them, Whatsoever he be of the house of Israel, of the strangers in Israel, that will offer his oblation for all his vows, and for all his freewill offerings, which they will offer unto the Lord for a burnt offering, ye shall offer at your own will a male without what? Without blemish. Of the beeves, of the sheep, or of the goats. But whatsoever hath a blemish, that shall ye not offer, for it shall not be acceptable for you." What did we say? The king is worthy of a sacrifice that is holy, that is set apart, and that is acceptable. You see, they would take a lamb and they would set it apart. They would say, "Well, that's holy, but it wasn't without blemish. That's not acceptable to God." Verse number 21. "And whosoever offereth a sacrifice of peace offerings unto the Lord to accomplish his vow, or a freewill offering in..." Excuse me, I lost my place. "In beeves or sheep, it shall be perfect to be accepted. There shall be no blemish therein. Blind or broken or maimed or having a wind," which is just a boil, "or scurvy or scab, ye shall not offer these unto the Lord, nor make an offering by fire of them upon the altar unto the Lord. Either a bullock or a lamb that hath anything superfluous or lacking in his parts, that mayest thou offer for a freewill offering, but for a vow it shall not be accepted. Ye shall not offer unto the Lord that which is bruised or crushed or broken or cut, neither shall ye make any offering thereof in your land. Neither from a stranger's hand shall ye offer the bread of your God of any of these, because their corruption is in them, and blemishes be in them, they shall not be accepted for you. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, When a bullock or a sheep or a goat is brought forth, then it shall be 7 days under the dam, and from the eighth day and thenceforth it shall be accepted for an offering made by fire unto the Lord. And whether it be cow or ewe, ye shall not kill it, and her young both in 1 day. And when ye will offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving unto the Lord, offer it at your own will. On the same day it shall be eaten up. Ye shall leave none of it until the morrow. I am the Lord. Therefore shall ye keep my commandments and do them. I am the Lord. Neither shall ye profane my holy name, but I will be hallowed among the children of Israel. I am the Lord which hallow you, that brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord." The king is worthy of a son who will honor and appreciate, but the king is worthy of a sacrifice that is holy and acceptable. Now take your Bibles, if you would, and go to the book of Romans with me real quickly. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter number 12. He is worthy of a sacrifice that is holy and acceptable. The priest and the people, they were bringing the maimed, they were bringing the lame, they were bringing the blind, they were bringing what they had left over. They were bringing the sick. God said, "Look, why don't you try to give that to your governor and see if he will accept that?" And he knew the answer to that. He knew even the governor, a man on earth, an earthly leader, wouldn't even accept that. And he said, "How do you think, or why do you expect your God, your king," he says in verse number 14, "how do you expect him to accept it?" Romans chapter number 12, verse number 1. The Bible says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." The king is worthy of a son who will honor and appreciate what he has done for them. But a king is worthy, the king is worthy of a sacrifice that is holy and acceptable. What kind of sacrifice does God want from us tonight? He wants our bodies. The Bible says in Romans 12, verse number 1, present your bodies. Now, by the way, not a dead sacrifice, a living sacrifice. He said, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. He wants our bodies. He wants a sacrifice with no blemish. Very simply tonight, He wants our best. He doesn't want our scraps. He doesn't want that which is stale. He wants our best. Many times growing up as a young person, our church had a missionary barrel. people would bring in clothes, and I think I've mentioned this before, but people would bring in clothes and items and different things for missionaries. And it used to make my father so angry so many times when people would bring shoes that were ripped and torn and throw in the mission barrel. They would bring clothes that had holes, clothes that they wouldn't even think about wearing anymore, and they would throw it in the mission barrel. My dad would get so angry and so frustrated. And he would say, why do God's people think that God's men need less than the best? Boy, he would get angry about that. We ought to give God our best. We ought to give God's men the best. We ought to give to our church. We ought to give the best. Our best time. Our best energy. The best, the first fruits of what we have. We ought to give Him the best. Why? Because He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, the Apostle Paul, he says, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable. In Malachi chapter 1, the people, the priests, they were not giving that which was holy and that which was acceptable. This is what they were giving. They were giving the leftovers. Leftovers, good for supper, but not good for the sovereign. That's what they were giving. They were giving the torn and the lame and the maimed and the blind. That's what they were giving God, when what they should have been giving God was the absolute best. That which comes on a silver platter. That's what they should have been giving God. And by the way, they knew better. They were God's people. These were the priests. They had been taught back in Exodus and Leviticus. God had taught them. This is what you're supposed to give. This is how you're supposed to do it. The best, the perfect. But instead of giving this, this is what they were bringing. Hey, don't worry about that. That'll be fine. This is what they were bringing. The leftovers. The halt, the maimed, the lame. And God said in Romans 12, it's no different for us in the age of grace. You say, Pastor, we live in the age of grace. We live in a time where, look, we don't live by the law anymore. We don't live under that which is found in the Old Testament. We live under grace. We say it all the time. What does grace do? Grace always elevates everything else. What does God do in Matthew chapter number 5? He said, ye have heard it said, but ye have heard in old time, but I say unto you. And He always elevates it. And in Romans chapter 12, He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourselves. You present your bodies a living sacrifice. You know what God wants us to do as His children? He wants us to lay ourselves down. Not die, but as a living sacrifice and lay ourselves down. You know what He wants us to do with our wallets? Many times we look in our wallets and we're like, well, I've got, let me see how much I have in there. Well, I can spare a dollar in the offering plate. And that's what we get. But you know what He wants? That's what He wants. I'm not saying He wants everything in your wallet as far as you have to give everything that you ever make. That's not what I'm saying tonight. But what He wants is this. He wants this. He doesn't just want that piddly little dollar that's in there. By the way, He doesn't need our piddly little dollar, does He? He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. He simply wants everything that's in here. But let me say this. Even more than wanting this, He wants this. Levi, can you help me out, bud? You want to help me out? I asked Daddy. Daddy said it was okay. This is what God wants. Now, I thought about doing this, but I thought it would be highly inappropriate, so I'm not going to do it. I thought about laying myself up there, but I probably couldn't get myself back off of there. You know what? This is what God wants. God wants... You can lay down. Just take a nap. You want to take a nap? Daddy said it's okay. That's what God wants. He wants me as His child. He wants a son that will honor and appreciate everything that He has done for me. He wants a sacrifice that is holy and that is acceptable. Not the leftovers. Not, well, if I don't have something better to do on Sunday, I'll go to church. If I don't have to work on Sunday, I'll go to church. If I have a little bit of money left in my wallet at the end of the month, I'll put it in the offering plate. If maybe I have a little time on Saturday, I'll go soul winning, but I've got other things to do on Saturday, and I don't really think I can go. If I have enough time after I spend hours upon hours on Facebook every day, then maybe, just maybe, I'll open my Bible and read it. And we're giving God leftovers. We're not giving Him the best. And I can say that in my own life. If I have something left, I'll give it. If I have enough energy left, I'll give it. We give Him our leftovers. Christians, we don't have any time to waste. I don't know how much time we have left. Look, God may let me live another 30, 40 years and I'll die and go to heaven. And another generation will come and maybe the Lord will come back in their generation. I don't know. But I know this. We've laid 3 people in the ground in less than 30 days. Less than a month, dear friend. Dear church family. Life is brief. That's what we talked about Friday with Miss Karen. The Bible says the house of mourning, it's better to come to the house of mourning than the house of feasting. Why? Because the living, the Bible says, lay it to heart. It reminds us of the brevity of life. Life is brief. It doesn't matter how long we live. Miss Karen lived 52 years. That's short. It's brief. But if you live 80, 90 years, it's still brief. In light of eternity. The brevity of life. We talked Friday about the priority of life. The priority of life is that little dash. What are we doing with it? What are we doing with it? Are we giving God our best on a daily basis? I'll tell you what, social media is killing us. I'm not against social media. I think it can be a great thing. We use Facebook. We do our messages through Facebook. I think it can be a great tool. But it's so easy to spend hour after hour. You know, I was listening to someone a couple weeks ago, and they said that the inventors, the creators of Facebook, the swipe up and the swipe down that you use on the smartphone, on the iPhone, and especially on sites like Facebook and so forth, he said they invented it, they created it to have the effect of a slot machine. He said that's the way they created it, as a slot machine, where the slot machine rolls and you can't wait to see what comes up. And boy, we just spend so much time, whether it's TV, whether it's social media, whether it's hobbies, whatever it may be, when we could be reading our Bibles, when we could be calling a family member and talking to them about Christ, when we could be going to the church house and doing something, giving some time to God. What does God want tonight? He wants a son who will honor and appreciate. What does the King want tonight? He wants a sacrifice that is holy, that is acceptable. This is what He wants. He wants our very best. He wants our very best. You go to a nice restaurant, they may not bring it out on a platter like this, but many times you go to a nice restaurant, they'll bring your food out and they'll take the cover off of it and whatever might be under there, a wonderful steak, a baked potato, whatever the case may be, beautiful appetizer. If I go to Ruth's Chris, which I've never been there, but I have a gift card and as soon as I can go, I'm going. I don't expect them to bring this out. Right? And if they do, I'm going to tell them, you better not charge me $100 like you normally do. Amen? No, I got a Ruth's Chris. I want a plate. It may not look exactly like that, but it's going to be similar. It's not going to be this. And when we serve God, God wants this right here, not this. Hey, would you give this to Governor Lee if you asked him to come to your house for a meal? Now, if you had leftovers and he's kind of a country guy, he might take this when he left. But you're not going to serve him that. You're going to serve him a wonderful meal. Anytime we have people in our homes, many of y'all have had us in your homes. This isn't what you placed in front of us. No, you placed a beautiful meal in front of us. Laid out very beautifully. Appetizers, main meal, dessert. He deserves, he's worthy of a sacrifice that is holy and that is acceptable. What is acceptable and what is holy? The best. That's what Leviticus 22 said. He said, don't bring me any blind, don't bring me any maimed, don't bring me any that were crushed or had broken legs or anything like that. You bring me the best. Hey, don't bring your old nasty, dirty shoes and throw them in the mission barrel. Buy a new pair and put them in the mission barrel. Buy a new set of clothes and put it in the mission barrel. The missionaries come to town, or whoever it may be, the evangelist comes to town. We're not going to give them the leftovers, we're going to give them the best. Or at least we're going to try. Why? Because that's what they deserve. Because that's what God deserves. Notice, if you would, and we'll be done. Levi, you okay? Good deal, bud. Would you go back to Malachi chapter 1? You want to stay here or you want to go back with Dad?
I want to stay here.
That's what I thought. Verse 14. Look what God says. And look at the sentence that God, the judgment that God places on these priests. Verse number 14. He says, but cursed be the deceiver, which hath in his flock a male. Remember we read in Leviticus 22, they were to bring a male without blemish. Which hath in his flock a male and voweth and sacrificeth unto the Lord a corrupt thing, whether it be female or whether it be crushed or bruised or whatever the case would be. For I am a great king, saith the Lord of hosts, and my name is dreadful among the heathen. But cursed be the deceiver. Notice chapter 2, verse 1. And now, O ye priest, this commandment is for you. If you will not hear, and if you will not lay it to heart, to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yea, I have cursed them already, because ye do not lay it to heart. Behold, I will corrupt your seed, and spread dung upon your faces, even the dung of your solemn feast, and one shall take you away with it. It's pretty graphic, isn't it? That's the judgment God said that they deserved. He said, priest, if you will not lay it to heart, if you will not listen, if you will not repent, if you will not get these things right, you have been careless, you have compromised, you haven't been cautious with the work there in the temple, the tabernacle work, the work of God. You haven't been careful, you've compromised, you've been very, very careless. And if you don't repent, this is what's going to happen. Leftovers, they're okay for supper, but not for the sovereign. The king is worthy of a son who will honor and appreciate. Dear friend, tonight, if nothing else, our gratefulness to God for the salvation that we have tonight ought to be enough. It ought to stir us and move us to give God the best. To give, to give, to give, to give. You know, when I was growing up, I never understood. I've mentioned this before. We never had a whole lot. We grew up on a farm. We didn't have much. I didn't know it. My mom and dad never let me know it. They gave us everything we needed. We didn't have much. And my dad, he would give. And he would give. And I'm thinking to myself, we need that. Why is he giving so much? Why is he giving that to the pastor? We need that in our family. Because my father understood something that a little child didn't understand. That his king was worthy of the very best. His king was worthy of everything that he had. My dad wasn't a perfect man by any means. He would have been the first to tell you that. But boy, he strove to give his best. He desired to give his best. Even sometimes to the point that a little child, his son, thought, "You're giving away what you should be giving to me. What you should be using to provide for your family." But God always provided. God always took care. Because He gave the best. My dad would kill a steer just about every year. You don't have to do this. I don't think there's anywhere in the Bible that says you have to do this. It does talk about tithing and the first fruits. And you can make the argument about the first fruits. But he'd always give the best steaks to our pastor. Pastor Stark was our pastor at that time. He'd always give him the best. Because he understood. I'm not going to give him the leftovers. I'm not going to give him the stuff that maybe I wouldn't want to eat myself. I'm going to give him the best. Listen, dear friend, tonight, church family, God deserves that. Whether it's our time, we're all busy people, I know that. We're busy. But sometimes I do wonder for myself if much of that busyness just isn't self-made. If maybe there's some things we could cut out and not be so busy. We're busy, I get it. But God deserves the best of our time. That's why Sunday is a non-negotiable day. At least it should be. Sunday ought to be a non-negotiable. I get it, Wednesday. We could have the midweek service anytime we wanted to. I get that. But Sunday's non-negotiable. That's when they had church in the New Testament. And we ought to give God our best when it comes to that. The best of our time, the best of our treasures, the best of our energy. That's why on Saturday night, I'm done. That's why on Saturday nights, we ought to prepare ourselves for Sunday. That's why we ought to get a good night's rest on Saturday night. So that we can come in here on Sunday and give God our best. That's why we ought not stay up to 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning on Sunday morning watching TV. And well, by the way, we ought not do that any night of the week. But we ought to come in here prepared and ready to give God our best on Sunday. Ready to worship, ready to sing, ready to receive from His Word. Ready to give Him our absolute best. No blemishes. Giving our bodies a living sacrifice. By the way, the end of that verse, Romans 12:1, what does it say? If we give our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, what is that? It's our reasonable service. It's the least we can do. It's our reasonable service. Hey friend, let me ask us tonight. Mr. Levi, I'm going to let you go sit back with your daddy. Thank you, bud. You've been a great help. Let me ask us tonight, dear church family. And only you can answer this. I can't. Because I don't know. I don't live with you every week. I don't know what you do. I don't know how you spend your money. I don't know how you spend your time. But in your heart tonight, would you simply ask God to help you to be honest as to whether you're giving God your best or not? Just a simple prayer. Lord, would you show me this week areas in my life, whether it's with money, whether it's with time, whatever it may be, God, would you show me this week areas where all I'm giving you are my leftovers? Because God, that's not what I want to give. God, I want to give you my best. I want to give you that which should be given to you on a silver platter, God, not on some paper plate with aluminum foil as a leftover. By the way, what did he tell them in verse number 10? He said, I'm not going to accept your offering. I'm not going to accept your sacrifice. Because it's not acceptable. Dear friend, tonight, let's ask God to help us with this. Let's ask God to help us even this week. God, I don't want to give you my leftovers. I don't want to give you what's left at the end of the day, and I crash in my easy chair, and I don't have time to read, and I don't have time to study, and I don't have time to spend with my family in the Word of God. I don't want to do that anymore. I want to give you my best. Let's ask God to help us with that, could we? Let's stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed. I'm going to pray. Miss Pam's coming to the piano, I believe. And after I pray, Miss Pam's going to begin to play. And friend, maybe you feel it necessary to come to the front and kneel around this platform, kneel around the front pews and just pray and ask God to help you this week. Maybe you would feel it necessary just to pray where you're at. Whatever the case would be is fine. But let's seriously and honestly ask God to show us. Are we being like the priest in Malachi chapter 1 that were so careless with the temple sacrifices? They weren't giving God the best. They were giving Him the absolute worst, for that matter. It wasn't good. We're giving Him good. No, it was the worst. Let's ask God to help us with that. Father, we love You tonight. Just work in our hearts. Just help us. Father, You want the absolute best for us. And I pray that You would show that to us tonight. Help us to lay our bodies on that altar as a living sacrifice. Help it to be holy. Help it to be acceptable, because that's our reasonable service. Father, help us, please, please, oh please. May Your Holy Spirit work in our hearts tonight. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen. With heads bowed and eyes closed, Miss Pam's going to play. If you need to come, you come. You might be here tonight. You may not know whether you're saved or not. Maybe you're here this morning and the Lord was knocking on your heart's door, but you didn't come. Maybe tonight you're here without Christ. Would you come? And say, Pastor, I'm not sure that I'm saved. Dear believer, would you just pray where you're at? Would you come and pray around the front? God, help me to give You my best. Not the maimed, not the lame, not the blind, not the crushed, not the bruised. Not that which really won't cost me anything. Remember a few weeks ago, Brother Crow preached about King David when he needed to make a sacrifice after the plague, after he numbered the people. What did he say? He said, I will not offer that which costs me nothing. Said, I'm not going to do it. No, he gave. May that be us tonight. This message isn't about money, but maybe the Lord would work in your heart to maybe give more to missions than what you're giving. He deserves the best. Maybe we would forego some meals eaten out or whatever the case would be, so that we can give our best. Maybe when it comes to missions or whatever it might be. Maybe we would redo our schedules so that we give God more priority in our schedules. Maybe we would redo our days so that we're not just absolutely exhausted at the end of the day, or even when we get up in the morning, that we can't give God some time. And by the way, not just some time, but the best time. In His Word, communing with Him. And these dear priests, they didn't even get it. They said, wherein have we despised Thy name? Wherein have we profaned Thine altar? Wherein have we profaned the sacrifice? They didn't even understand. Amen. Thank you so much.